I am a Hokage.
Badass muscle mommy astrophysicist student. Chloe the Hokage.
My dad has... My earliest memories are him throwing up, coughing his lungs out, being sick, bedridden all the time. Sometimes I'll be crying because I'm so upset how much he's going through, but I don't know what happened, but something triggered in my brain and I didn't want to be alive. I actually got into an eating disorder facility. They obviously wouldn't let me have laxatives. My body was just so dependent on it that it couldn't live without it, so... First.
Oh!
I was bullied a lot through middle school and high school, and I internalized it. Like, I thought I just wasn't good enough, and then one day he just died. And my dad stopped doing the games. I was sharing the loss with the whole world, because the whole world knew who he was, too. I've been cheated on as well.
What would you say is probably the hardest part of your life?
To be fair, though.
Guys, we have Chloe the Hokage. Muscle mommy Hokage, badass anime enthusiast. Fitness, astrophysicist, student.
You said it, not me.
Chloe and I actually met through the Young LA team, and she's been a part of it for a while and absolutely been rocking it and has these giant fucking legs somehow.
Soccer.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Was that like your main sport?
Yeah. I played it for about 12 years, maybe more.
Oh, that's a long ass time. When'd you get started?
6 years old, probably. Yeah, I started at a very young age, and I think it was the only sport I really liked, so I stuck with it. Mm-hmm. I played it throughout middle school, high school, and even college. It was really fun.
Was this something your parents kind of like?
Yeah. I played a lot of sports, but this is the one that actually only stuck for as long as it did, but I really loved it. It's probably one of the only like real passions I've had in my life, soccer.
How did they kind of like... And so you just start doing soccer.
I actually first started doing gymnastics, and I like gymnastics, but gymnastics became like a really individual sport for me. So there was a lot of like pressure on me, and I didn't really like that. I cracked under pressure a lot, knowing that it was like all dependent on me to do so well. And I always did very well, but I never really liked the pressure. So, my parents put me into soccer. The one thing that I think a lot of parents do is soccer. And I really liked it. I really, really liked it. And I was also really good at it at a very young age. And like I said, it just stuck. Mm-hmm. And it literally became my whole personality too. I had like a soccer-themed bed, soccer-themed room, soccer wallpaper. Like everything was soccer-themed. So I'm really happy they did because I love soccer so much.
How did they like... I guess, what was it about gymnastics that was such a pressure for you versus something like going to soccer?
It was really rigorous. Like the training, like they would put me on, like there would be two mats and they would put me in a split and push my hips down. And I remember that so clearly. And I would come home crying to my parents. I'm like, I can't do this. Like at such a young age, it's so much like torture for a young kid to do. Like, and it's normal in the gymnastics community, but I couldn't take it. And it was so much easier to just run around and kick a ball than to like do the splits and like contort your like body for such a long period of time. Like, my practices would be 8 hours a day.
What?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what about school?
It was, I think I did online at that time, like, or it was like a homeschooling kind of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, it was really, really bad. And I was not happy, and that's what they saw. So they switched me into soccer, and immediate change in my mood. Mm-hmm. So much happier. So.
That's really nice that your parents were able to like tell that.
Yeah, I was too. Because they knew I was really good at it, but I wasn't happy, which is, they had to make a change. So, mm-hmm. Glad they did.
My dad would just be like,
get your ass back in there.
Tennis player. Damn, bro. Fuck. So, gymnastics was a little bit before six, and then soccer was then.
Yeah.
Was there like a reason why it was soccer? Was it something your parents chose, or was it something that you were like more interested in?
I think it was all my parents. They just chose soccer. There were like always be like little leagues in my area. And it was pretty cheap to just put a kid in there and play with other kids you don't know. And it would be like a summer thing. And I really, really liked it. And my parents just put me into like a, instead of like a summer thing, they put me into like a whole year round thing. And I was on a team at the age of 8 permanently.
Wait.
I started like practicing regularly with a team and like doing tournaments and started like actually really getting into the sport.
Damn. I guess how did, was this related at all to like you starting your bodybuilding journey? Cause I'll probably put in, I'll say an insert like later, but I want to hear this first.
Actually, I didn't start bodybuilding until I played football. I was on the football team in high school. It was not a girls team. It was a boys team.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I played football in high school. I wasn't like a major position or anything. I played kicker, but I went to a high school that was like Catholic and they were all like very inclusive to me joining. Like I remember going up to the coach and I asked him, I remember being so scared to ask him if I could try out. He didn't like hesitate or anything. He was just like, yeah, come to practice tomorrow.
What?
And what? I tried out and they all loved me and I started playing football. And I didn't know the sport. I really didn't. Like, I didn't really know how to play, but I knew how to kick a ball. I really did. And I think that was one of the best years of my life was being on that football team because I was the oldest person on the team. But they treated me like a little sister. Like those were my brothers. Mm-hmm. They protected me anytime someone like knew I was a girl and made like remarks about it or comments. But I would kick the shit out of that ball and nobody said anything after. I never missed a field goal, never missed a extra point or anything.
Nice.
I had a clean season. So I really loved it.
That's
but dope. I learned how to bodybuild because of practice from that. Like we would go in the weight training,
yeah.
Practice. Like I learned how to bench press and I was so weak, but they didn't like, they always helped me like try and grow stronger. Like, but yeah. And after high school, I really missed that, like that training regimen. And I started like doing it on my own and here we are doing bodybuilding. It was pretty fun. So I have to say thank you to all my brothers who helped me like get into that and showed me how to weightlift properly and all that stuff.
Do you have any siblings?
I do have one sibling. I have a little sister. But we don't talk.
Is there a reason, if you don't mind me asking?
She is just kind of the opposite of me. I still love her. Like she's my blood, but I don't really, have anything in common with her. Like we live in the same house. Her room is like all pink Barbie and like everything. My room is like Star Wars, Attack on Titan, Naruto. Like I have posters all over my wall, figures, manga, Funko Pop. And she has like nail stuff. And I'm like, we're just complete opposite, but we never really got along. And I wish things were different. I would love to have a good relationship with my sister, but I think there's something she's got to work on first because we were both not in a good time to like be friends. And I think I've matured enough to like want to be friends with her, but she hasn't yet. So I'm waiting for her to grow up a little bit before I start a good relationship.
So a lot of this is mostly probably just because of like a lack of connection between you guys.
Yeah, we just... we're not friends and we have very different personalities and I don't think I would see her as a friend until we're maybe a lot older. But I foresee a friendship one day. I'd really like to have one, but not now.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to figure some things out.
That's the craziest thing about life though, right? Is like at any point, you know, something unexpected can happen. Things can completely change.
Yeah. She's been through a lot of trauma, as have I, but I've kind of moved on from it a lot quicker than she has, which is why we probably aren't on a good setting right now is because she projects all of that trauma onto anybody. My parents, me, her friends, even it's just not a comfortable space to be around her. So I just don't like interact or give in, and I'd rather just focus on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like doing that for me helps her focus on herself too. So I think I'm trying to make it easier for her to like grow up and mature, but I'm giving her like a lot of time. I'm not in a rush. I do foresee a potential relationship between us, because I do love her. She's my blood, but it's hard to be friends with someone who's so troubled.
What's the age difference between you guys?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. Yeah. I feel like oftentimes sometimes it's really hard when it comes to family, because unlike the friends that you choose, hopefully, if we're in a good place and we're making right decisions, we're choosing the people that we connect with, that we can go to when anything happens.
Yeah.
Whenever we're in the most pain, the people that we feel safe around normally become our friends. But fortunately for family, you don't really pick, right?
Right.
You don't really pick whether or not you'd be able to connect with them or not. It's almost like a toss of the coin, or maybe there's a spectrum, but yeah, it's something that I think throughout my entire childhood is something that I've been struggling with, but also having no choice but to grow in.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that I guess I grew up being an only child, and it was like didn't have the most comfortable relationship with my family, so it's definitely something that it's just, you just have to work through.
I remember my grandmother telling me is that, you know, we don't really get along, and we haven't since we were probably age of 10, is that everybody's going to be gone and y'all only have your sister. And that's something that stuck with me since she said that. And I was probably like 12 at the time. And she couldn't be more right. Is she'll probably be the only blood I have for pretty much the entirety of my life, if, you know. But that's why I really try to, you know, give her some space right now to mature into her skin and learn the way the world works, because I think she thinks she's going to have it very easy for a long period of her life, and it's not going to be that way the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she didn't graduate high school. She doesn't have a GED. She doesn't have a job. She doesn't have a license, doesn't have any plans to go to college. And, you know, then there's me, who has all of those things and has had a career set for myself since I was 15 years old. And so being so different like that, it's like, I can't really understand on this level with her that she doesn't have a path for her life. You know, and that makes us so different. And I don't think that makes us compatible friends at all. So when she like starts to get a grip on her life, I'll try for a relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I might be overanalyzing, and this might be totally out of line for me to ask this. So if it is, please let, you know, you don't have to answer. But out of curiosity, do you believe like this difference between you guys might be a result of more so like your upbringings rather than just like your genetic predisposition?
What does upbringings mean?
Like your upbringings, like how were you raised? Like,
oh.
Was she maybe treated or raised differently than you were when you guys were kids? Or?
Definitely not. We were definitely raised the same. I truly believe it was the people she surrounded herself with. She didn't really have great friends, like as in her friends were not the best influences on her. They introduced her to a lot of things that she was so young for, and I wasn't around that stuff at her age, and I think that definitely influenced how I was raised. My parents raised her and I the same. They spoiled us both equally. They never treated us any different. If anything, they actually like her more. I say that with quotation marks, but like, they kind of protect her because they know she's not doing so well right now. But I think it was just where she, like, who she made friends with that influenced her to make so many bad decisions in life. And I only chose to have friends that were really good for me. I was very easy to cut people off if they did not like align with my morals and stuff. So mm-hmm. I don't think she had that mindset mm-hmm. at a young age than I did. But my parents were pretty good to both of us. I don't blame them at all.
Mm-hmm. I learned from someone pretty dope that we both know that it was kind of more of like an account, like an anecdotal experience, but I found it pretty valuable to hear that, like, obviously we never know what's going to happen. And there are some people that continue to go down the same path, but this person I'm thinking of, when she moved away, realized just, I think there was just like a world of realization that just smacked her and hit her in the face when she realized, like, I actually had everything, you know, my family really treated me beautifully. And now I realize there's a lot that I need to fight for, you know, people won't always be around.
So. She had everything she needed to do well in life. It was ultimately her, you know, the way she goes about things. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you see where I am now. I truly feel like personally successful, and that was because I took advantage of everything my parents gave me, a good education and so much more that like I used to like enhance my life. She didn't really do that. And that's a real difference between us, is that she just didn't like utilize what she had, what she was given. She was given so much. We both were, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think you guys have had like a good opportunity to be independent? I feel like you have, like you're living on your own now and everything, but I guess what do you feel about that?
Which part?
I guess the level of independence that you guys were raised with.
I think she was like pretty independent. We shared a room for a while, and then obviously we needed to get our own rooms, but she's been pretty independent. Like, but I don't think that was good for her, because I think her being independent made her not make so many good decisions either when she was older. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. These are like very tricky places, especially to think about. But I mean, what I feel is that, you know, if you guys are meant to have this connection and you guys are meant to be together, then it's going to happen at some point.
We will. I don't have a time frame for it, but we will when we're older. She's still so young, so am I. And it can take even so many more years for her to like realize what she's like kind of doing. And I'm just waiting for the day that, you know, when she does realize, we can start a relationship that's good. So I'm going to be patient for now. Mm-hmm.
I can't say anything as to who I am now. I mean, I believe I can speak with confidence as to what I believe in myself and the identity I hold to be true. But in respect to other people, giving them the opportunity to judge me as is without me claiming things, I can say that from my past when I was younger and before I became independent and moved out of the house, just the level of maturity, I think, that I had from the moment I moved out of the house to where I am now is just, I see myself as like a totally different person. And I think a lot of people can say that, but not everybody can. And I think, honestly, it kind of, even to this day, blows my mind just how much can change in just a year alone, much less 10 years, especially if you're independent and you're alone. And you are surrounding yourself with completely different people, potentially even new people, say in a cycle of every 3 or 4 years, you know, because life lives in cycles. So it's like just thinking about how many stages of you there are as life continues just blows my mind how different you can be if you were alone by yourself for, say, like 10 years. So, I can't make any predictions. Plus, I don't really want to. I don't know. It's not my place, but it's just a cool thought for me to think about just how, like, you never know what's going to happen, like, once you leave the house, you know? You never know who you're going to become. You never know what kind of experiences are going to change you. And I've had a lot of experiences that I've talked about myself on the podcast, such as like a lot of my best friends passing away that have, crazy enough, wouldn't have thought would have changed me as much, but just because simply they ended up being some of the most beautiful souls on the planet.
Real quick, guys. So while I was looking at the YouTube analytics, I actually saw that 85% of you guys that watch this channel are not subscribed. And I want to ask very little of you guys, but if you enjoy this podcast, if you find value in it, then please do me this one favor and subscribe to the channel, because doing so helps me get bigger and greater guests like the guests you are listening to today. Also, this channel is not sponsored, which means only the companies that I work with, which are Young LA and Huge Supplements, are the companies that can help fund this channel by you guys using the code NILE. So code NILE gives you a discount of 15% off of Young LA, and code NILE also gives you a discount of 10% off of Huge Supplements. And if you decide to purchase anything from any of these companies, it will help immensely for me by using my code. And this way, I can travel to other guests such as Dr. Mike Israetel next week and also upgrade an equipment to make this podcast bigger and better for you guys.
I had a friend pass away as well. His name, he was Cameron Boyce. Do you remember him from Disney Channel? He was on the show Jesse.
Fuck. Am I too old for this?
No, you definitely aren't. You know, you mentioned that, but I was literally thinking about him yesterday. He passed away at 20 from unexpected seizure. And we were good friends. We met when we were very young too, because...
How old were you guys?
I think I had to be like 16 when he passed away. He was like a couple years older than me, but...
How old were you guys when you guys met?
Oh, when we met, I was probably like 12. Hmm. Yeah, we met through my dad. He had like a basketball team, like... full of celebrities, and they would play against like the faculty of high schools and raise charity. So since he was like a big Disney Channel star, he would come play and meet all his fans. And obviously, since my dad owned the team, I met him, and we always would hang out at all the basketball games. And then one day he just died, and my dad stopped doing the games. He like completely cut the team. He couldn't, he really had a hard time with the loss too. And it was like I was sharing the loss with the whole world, because the whole world knew who he was too. He was so likable throughout everybody. Like, he was such a great person. And I'm sure you know, it's just like only the best people get taken away from you. And I was also pretty young at a time. I didn't know what loss was. I'd never had anyone die in my life like that. And it was just so unexpected. And I remember waking up and seeing all the Instagram posts being like, Cameron Boyce died. And I thought it was a joke. Like, I thought it was a huge prank. And then my dad got the call, and he had to tell me that my friend died. And the only thing I had from him was his jersey. We retired it, stopped doing the games, and my dad lost work. That was it.
How close were you guys, if you don't mind me asking?
We were,
what was your relationship like?
We were like super close, but we were like pretty good friends. Like, we would have these basketball games like maybe 10 or 12 times a year, and we would always just hang out. Like, we would be next to each other the entire time, like talking, doing whatever. He was the nicest guy. I would always just help him with whatever he needed at the games. And I was obviously still very young, so it wasn't like, he was like 4 or 5 years older than me, so it wasn't like exactly appropriate for me to hang out with him all the time. But when we did, we always like, we had very good conversations, and it seems so long ago that it happened, and it was, but we were pretty good friends.
Do you feel like you saw him as kind of like an older brother for you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he was very protective of even me when when we were at these games. Like, he would get swarmed, and he would always like push me back to make sure I was like okay, like not getting swarmed by all the fans, and like looking out for my safety too. And I didn't understand it at the time, but now looking back at it, yeah, he was like an older brother to me.
Damn, I'm sorry about that.
I'm glad that he at least left, like, there's like this Cameron Boyce Foundation that's left behind now where it's like awareness for seizures and epilepsy. So I'm glad that his loss like still left something good in the world. That's all you can really ask for now. So I'm grateful like that he was such a good guy to have left something great behind.
I sometimes wonder if it's just within our minds what we choose to see in the person when they die. And I'm sure that is to an extent. Right. Like if you love someone and they pass away, why wouldn't you want to choose to see the goodness, you know? But even when I try my best to look through the most unbiased point of view possible, I just feel like all the people that passed away around me that I was close to were genuinely like some of the best people I knew. And it's kind of confusing sometimes, because I think sometimes I don't know if you wonder this, because we both talked about being overthinkers. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm just contemplating like why like is there a point to like is this supposed to show me something, like why you, the universe, God, whoever is choosing the people that I feel are like the biggest role models for me, or like the most positive representations of how I believe I should act. You know, so I don't know. Basically, both Ryan and Nick were two of the most like selfless, social, fun, and very giving with their time. Also, just sick motherfucking handsome bros. But what's crazy is just like knowing the things that they went through, especially how they continue to act in goodness, is just kind of like fucking mind blowing to me. Like I've said this story so many times, so I don't really want to prolong it too long, but basically I don't think I've ever told you very much about it, but like my best friend Ryan had probably like one of the craziest just lives out of anybody I've ever known. It like reminds me of like Forrest Gump on steroids. Like, and all of the experiences weren't really that positive, or I mean there was a lot of positive experiences, but it's just like mind-blowing how like he was stabbed when he was like 7 years old by the kids that he thought that were his friends because they were stealing from him. He didn't live in like a very great neighborhood. He was in Louisiana, and then his a little bit after that he his mom got shot. He ran down stairs to find his mom dead because she was having a fight with her boyfriend at the time. So obviously the boyfriend went to jail, even though everybody didn't completely know what the situation was. And then he had to take care of his sister and his brother. And I don't even really understand how he was able to do that, because his dad wasn't in the picture. Until his dad decided to commit suicide right when Ryan joined the military later. And like during the time, like as a teenager, his house caught on fire and then also flooded, because Louisiana, like that happens all the time. Floods happen all the time. When he was in the military in San Diego, there's one time where he was like, this kid was a crazy partier still. Like the entire time he had such a crazy fun social life, meeting so many people, making so many friends, raging his dick off, like an absolute party animal, and still continued to do things, good things, and walk and just move through life with like fearlessness. This one time when he was in PB in San Diego, I guess he went home with like three girls or something. Altercation happened. They were like running after him. He jumped out the window. He was basically half naked, hidden in a bush. And then like this cop came up behind him. Oh, fuck. I ruined the story. This guy came up behind him and he felt a hand and he didn't know what it was, but they were all really hammered, right? The girls, they were all really drunk. So he just spun around, punched the person in the face, and he smashed in the cop's face. So ended up going to jail for like so long, so many years, because this cop basically wanted to give him the death sentence because the cop had to have like surgery and like reconstruction in his face, and it just never was the same. So it was like a really bad issue, but just obviously in jail, since he was such a good person, he like did so many good accounts of being a good Samaritan, such as like doing this crazy thing of like having the security guards that were his friends smuggle him like a bottle of tequila so he could create like a truce between the whites and the Mexicans, because the Mexicans were about to raid them for some crazy reasons. It's a little story, but it's a little bit like, it's kind of unrelated, but because of
lived through like 8 lifetimes.
Yeah, he did a lot.
That was crazy.
That was a lot. And that's only like 60% of like the way through. So
my goodness.
Yeah. Long story short, fire department asked him to be a firefighter and work for them as he was in jail because of like the good things he'd do. And obviously he saved lives as a firefighter. And then this one time found a kid who shot himself, missed his brain, and was just suffering on the street. And he came in, called the ambulance, saved the kid's life, and the kid ended up being the son of the head of the police department.
The guy that he punched? Or the...
The head of the police
department. Oh, the head. No way. Yeah.
So he gets a call while he's in jail, or prison. Sorry, he gets a call while he's in prison. And the guy on the phone's like, Ryan, you have 6 months left, and then you're out. And Ryan just falls to the floor and starts crying. And then 6 months later, Dion picks him up and I meet him at EOS in San Diego at the gym, and become best friends, hang out for years, become roommates. And then while he's our roommate, it's when he passed away. But honestly, the craziest thing is like both him and Nick, these were the kinds of guys, and Joe Aesthetics too, were the kind of guys that would like literally go out of their way to help people. And like, I feel like you, I, like a lot of the people here that we know in LA, like it's hard for us to even like get the, like just give extra time to like respond to people through your fucking cell phone, you know? Like sometimes we're just so busy, like giving someone the time of day, especially to like the extent that they did, is just not even in our thoughts.
Yeah, I at least like to tell my friends, like, they all know I'm extremely busy. Like, I, day in, day out, I go to school, I do homework, and that's just, like, on repeat all the time. But if any of my friends ask to hang out with me, ask me to do anything, I always tell them that I will make time for you, mm-hmm. no matter what. Like, I will make time. Like, it seems like I'm busy, but I'm always free for you. Like, you just tell me the time, the day, place, like, I'll be there. And I always like to do that. Just, like, they understand, like, the kind of life I'm trying to live and trying to pursue. But I always, like, want to, they have a place in my heart where, like, I would do anything for them. Time, like, quality time is such an important thing for me, for my friends.
I feel like there's nothing better than quality time.
Oh yeah. Even if it's just talking like this, like I appreciate it so much. Just getting to know like mm-hmm. my friends so much more.
That's kind of one reason why I actually put myself in the podcast space. And one thing I'm really thankful for having it, because I knew what I believed to be true ended up being true. But it really just granted me like, well, it didn't grant me, it just forced me to improve in my ability to be present, which is like something that I've always had an issue with. And I think also because I just had like raging ADHD as a kid.
Oh my gosh, me too. Me too.
So distractions everywhere. But I think, I guess as I've noticed that I've been getting better and better and better at being present, so has my quality of life. And so is my happiness. And so is how I've felt being connected to others, as well as my friends and the people I love and the people I care about. So all around, just like a good feeling, a lot of benefits.
It's nice to just like put your phone down and like talk face to face. And I always like to do that with, I'm like, when I'm at the dinner table or with my parents or with my grandparents, just do not disturb, put my phone away and just talk. And I notice I never really have a need to like pull my phone out. I usually do when like I'm super bored. I need to be on my phone. But when I'm like in company with people who are important to me. It's never like, it's so weird how I just never have that urge to pull out my phone and be on it. But I like that I'm not like able to be so like attached and just be present, like you said.
I'm really grateful for these experiences. I'm really grateful for these people having come in my life. No, it does not feel good that they passed away, but to this day, forever, for the rest of my life, I hold them in my soul, and I just want to make sure that I carry on that legacy, because I think there's not, I mean, what else would be the point, you know? Like, the fact that these, sometimes I just want to keep talking about it, to be honest. Sometimes I just want to talk about how literally, like, he would go out of his way and just fix one of our friend's doorknobs, went by Home Depot after he found out his friend's door was broken, bought a doorknob, didn't tell them, just went all the way to their place and literally repaired it for them, just like as a surprise. And I just remember, like, on that day thinking, like, I don't even have time to, like, go with them to the gym because I had to, like, finish editing a video. Otherwise, I would fucking be slacking off on my job and my engagement would drop and then I wouldn't be making as much money. All that shit that was just running through my head literally was just incapacitating me from being present and living the life that I really do want to live with the people I love. So, and then he died and then I realized, well, I fucked up. Didn't get the time that I wanted with him.
Right.
Because I was too busy, in quotes. So, yeah. Just a little bit of value change. So to this day, I've noticed I've been a lot more present and spent a lot more time with, like, my family, friends, the people I call family. And while it has still made a small impact on, like, my revenue, how much I'm making, how well I'm doing, I'm alive. I have my own place. I have my own food. But most importantly, I am so much happier.
I like to think that every bad thing that's happened to me is just a lesson. Like, I've had an eating disorder. I've had two suicide attempts. I've had friends die. I've had so much shit go on, and I've been cheated on as well. And I like to think everything that's happened to me that's bad is just a lesson. And it's made me so much stronger. Like, I'm confident enough to say that I'm pretty resilient as a person, and not a lot of things really get to me anymore. And I still feel so young to even say that, but I've had to mature at a very, very young age in order for me to get there, to be so headstrong. And like, I like to think, like, these things have to happen to me in order for me to get to, like, a good place. And while it really sucks, all of those things happening, but I think I'd be very soft and not so, like, I think it'd be so easy for me to live this life if those things didn't happen. So they're all just lessons.
That was a lot that you just spilled.
Yeah.
You had to explain yourself.
Like, things that you put around your ankles. Looks really cute, but they were, like, a huge thing in the 80s, I think.
Oh. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we brought that back.
Did you really?
I didn't.
But, like,
we brought that back as women. Yeah.
Women in, like, just, women on TikTok or women?
Yeah, I think so. It was like, it just became a trend again.
No way.
Yeah. It's pretty cute though. I own some now.
I like those.
And my mom was like, oh my gosh, are those leg warmers? I'm like, yes. Back in my day.
Yeah.
And she got.
I'm honestly so happy that these are the times that are being brought back right now, because they had some of the fucking dopest fashion trends.
I agree.
I feel like it's been like cooking for a while though. I feel like, yes, even like 10 years ago, I remember some people were like doing some 70s, 80s shit still. Now it's like a little bit more 80s, 90s.
I love old fashioned trends. Like, I don't think there's any bad one, in my opinion. I think it's all just subjective.
This might be a spicy take, but I feel like the one fashion trend I would love to come back someday is like 40s hairstyles.
Is that like the slick
back? Yeah.
Dude, I
like
agree.
Real clean, like,
I agree.
Captain America.
Oh, like sailor, like fucking, yeah. I agree. That would be cool.
That's like the ideal look that I always wanted. And fuck the comment on my fucking Instagram post that said I look like a fucking grandma cleaning lady. But
we brought back mullets.
We did bring back mullets. That's true. Mullets are not bad. They're pretty dope. I have to say that, considering I kind of have one, but I just wanted like my idealized like view of like what I wanted to look like when I was younger was just like yatted fucking pierced up dude with like the most professional perfect hairstyle. Just like
got two thirds.
As absolutely contradictory as possible. Except I wanted to add a little flare in the back. Like just for fun, you know? You got like clean and nice in the professional in the front and then like fun in the back.
Yeah.
Anyways, can we just like start from like the beginning of your story? I just kind of like want to hear more because like you and I have never talked about your story before and now I'm really curious.
Yeah.
Especially after you spill that on me.
Yeah. Did you press all the buttons?
Yes.
All the 14 buttons?
I pressed the
14 buttons. Let's go. Okay. Yeah. I sort of talk about my past. Like I don't make it my entire personality now because I don't think it's like too important, but I guess it could all start when I was born with this condition called hypodontia. It's basically like an absence of teeth. So I don't have teeth here.
Oh shit.
Like these two teeth are fake.
Are those all like veneers?
They're implants. So I got surgery.
Oh.
And they put fake teeth in there, but I did not have those two front teeth for about maybe like 10 years of my life. But those 10 years were, you know, when I was in middle school to college. So, like,
Why were they missing from middle school to college?
So I had those baby teeth, and then when they fell out, I never had adult teeth.
Oh.
Like they just never came in. I don't have wisdom teeth either. Like they just don't exist in my mouth. So I'm kind of like part of evolution. But yeah, I didn't have those front teeth. And then I also had braces. So imagine 4 years I had braces and then those two teeth were just not there. So you can guess that that was a pretty big thing for bullying back then. I was pretty bullied badly. Hmm. And they thought that was really funny. I was bullied a lot for my hair as well, which is crazy because I think my hair is like one of the coolest things about me now.
Well, that's dope.
But I was very different. And a lot of them looked the same and I was just very funny looking back then. And I was bullied a lot through middle school and high school. And that became a lot of different problems for me. Like I internalized it. Like I thought I just wasn't good enough. Maybe, you know, I needed to lose weight. And so somehow that happened. And I went from like 130 pounds to 90 in maybe 9 months. So it was a big drop. And my eating disorder got ugly. Like I was anorexic and bulimic. So I would be eating and then throwing up my food. But then I would be starving for 3 days. And I was also doing soccer at the time. So you can only imagine I was burning calories like crazy. Of course, my parents saw like a huge change in my appearance. They got concerned. My dad, he doesn't really understand it. Like he doesn't understand any of the mental health stuff, but my mom does. Hmm. And it got really bad to a point in my eating disorder where I had an addiction to laxatives. Like I would be going to Target and CVS and stealing like laxative pills. I would be taking those every single day.
Like, just because did you like just not have money as a kid?
You're
that young.
I didn't have, I was 15, maybe 14, 15 years old. Mm. I would steal them. And like a lot of people know the way laxatives works. Like you eat them and kind of just like everything just comes out of you like very quickly. So I would do that for about 3 months and my body got so used to it that my entire digestive system broke down. I remember when I actually got into an eating disorder facility, like rehab basically for eating disorders, they obviously wouldn't let me have laxatives. So 2 days into my facility, I could not go to the bathroom. Like my body was just so dependent on it that it couldn't live without it. So my bladder burst.
Oh,
it was really bad. Like I like my muscles did not work down there to like do anything. Like, it was really bad. I was hospitalized for a week. It was terrible. So I had surgery, I fixed it, and
oh my god,
it was pretty bad. If anything taught me to not fucking do that again, don't do laxatives.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So, but I got better. Obviously, I have a pretty good relationship with food now, but I look back at that time in my life and I was like, what the fuck? Like, to even say that, like, that was a thing in my life was crazy. And that was only, that all happened within a year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, but then the eating got better, but I was still bullied.
How old were you, by the way, if you don't mind me asking, the time,
I
the
was
age range?
15 years old now.
So, like, when was the beginning of the whole
14.
Eating situation? 14 to 15?
14 to 15.
Okay, and then yeah.
So now we're at
the bladder thing was at 15.
Yeah. Yeah. And, oh my gosh, even the eating disorder facility. So you would have 3 meals a day. And you would have 2 snacks in between. There'd be 2 counselors watching you. People would, like, girls with eating disorders, they would, like, take the food and, like, hide it and stuff so they wouldn't have to eat. I was like, that's crazy. And if you didn't eat.
I'm only laughing because I understand.
No, it's funny to me now because
I've been through this too.
It's crazy now, but it's like, I was only doing it to, like, punish myself. I really thought these things, like, I thought I was always fat. I thought I was never good enough. I was worthless, all this stuff. Like, the worst you can think about. But it's like, at this point, when I was finished with my surgery and all that, and I was ready to, like, actually start improving, I'm like, I never want to experience this again. I started eating and doing well, and I was out within a month.
Mm.
It was only a month, and yeah, but I saw some crazy shit there. Like, I thought I was skinny. Like, there were girls who were, like, you could see their cheekbones, and I never got that bad, but I never realized how good I had it when I didn't get that bad, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
After I finished the eating disorder facility, somehow I developed, I don't know what triggered it, but I think I got really, like, I had this one bully who would not stop. Like, at this point, it was just, it was a lot of different people, but now it's just one person, and it was a boy. His name is Aiden.
His name, by the way.
His name drop, Aiden, I'm watching you. But he would not stop bullying me. He would bully me in class. Like, he would make remarks. Like, I never answered questions in class anymore because he would always say, like, well, that's stupid. And it's like silly now, but out of class, he would always put, like, food in my locker. Like, I would have, like, books, and he would dump, like, spaghetti that we had for lunch all over it. I remember that. I remember, like, him pulling on my hair at points. I remember, like, he would walk behind me and take my backpack and, like, pull it, and I would get, like, whiplash from how hard he pulled it. But all that little stuff, like, instead of, like, my eating, like, disorder coming back again, I started, like, self-harming. And at points it was just like I would, like, rip my hair out or something, but then I started, like, cutting myself. I don't know how that happened, but I started cutting, and that went on for good 7 or 8 months. Got really, really bad when I started, like, accidentally cutting too deep and getting stitches. Like, that was pretty bad. And at one point, I don't know what happened. I remember being at a carnival with my friend, and I was having, like, the best day ever, and I don't know what happened, but something triggered in my brain, and I just hated myself, and I didn't want to be alive. And so I, like, took a razor and I just slit my wrist. And I went to the hospital. I was, like, losing blood. And I got stitches now and everything. But that day was, like, such a blur for me because I was having a good day. And the next thing you know, I was in the hospital for a suicide attempt. Like, how did that happen? And I didn't know how bad it got until that day. But I was put in like this 5150 where you like you're in like this facility for 72 hours and with people who are like just as crazy as you. And I told myself I would never do it again, and I didn't. But that was the first suicide attempt I had. The second one, I like overdosed on Advil. I don't know. I grabbed the pills, the nearest pills to me, and I took like 200 and, you know, like charcoal face masks. Mm-hmm. You have to drink that in order for that to get out of your system. So I got like my stomach pumped and everything, and it was terrible. But that was the last time I did it, and I went to an actual like therapy, like stuff for my mental health, and I got better. But at that point I was 16 years old, and I think that was the last time I like ever had anything to do with like mental health. Like, I think it's been smooth sailing. I'm 7 years clean now, so this February I was 7 years, so I've made a lot of improvements since then. But that was a pretty hard time in my life, I'm not gonna lie.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes it's hard to just express. I think sometimes it's just really difficult to like properly tell a story of like the things that we've been through, or like the hurtful experiences that we've experienced. And I know there's a lot of people out there that can relate to the experiences that we've had, especially when it comes to something as simple as bullying. But the thing that's just so overwhelming for me, like now in the place where I am, realizing how blessed I am now and how much of a gift my life is now, is I wouldn't be able to see that if I didn't have like the love, the support, and the connections that I do now. Like the level of empathy that I feel from the people around me, most particularly like the people I love. Because back then, I think back then whenever I was, it's not easy to talk about these things, huh? Back then whenever I had some suicidal incidences too, it's purely because I think when I look back, it seemed like there was no empathy given to me. It seemed like I wasn't wanted. It seemed like I wasn't supported. It felt like I wasn't loved. It felt like I wasn't cared for. It seemed like I wasn't seen or I wasn't heard, that I didn't matter and I wasn't important. And I think all of those also relate to just not really having a purpose. And it's like when all those things stack up, it's hard not to just be like questioning, why am I alive? If there's no purpose, there's nothing that feels good, there's no one that cares about you. It's like a bird in a cage that I guess is just, you know, left alone, not cared for. I don't remember what that study was. There was like a study where there was like, I think they isolated a communal animal from his community or whatever, and it like just committed suicide. I don't really remember what it was, but
I think it was definitely like a sea animal. I think it was like a shark. He like was in a, I think I remember hearing about this. He like hit his head against the wall so many times he like had a brain aneurysm or whatever and died. So he was alone for so long.
Shit. Damn.
If you feel like any of the medications that we spoke about today may benefit you, such as BPC-157, GH secretagogues such as tesamorelin, IGF-1, oxandrolone trochee, semaglutide, then you can obtain these from Transcend HRT, and the link for that will be in the bio. If you feel like you're experiencing symptoms of low testosterone, such as depression, anxiety, lack of motivation, as well as lack of sex drive, then you can get this checked out as well by getting your blood work done at Transcend, and they will provide you expert medical analysis. Transcend HRT has worked with many professional bodybuilders and pro athletes, such as Thor Bjornsson, Phil Heath, and Jeremy Buendia. And if you feel like this podcast has any relevancy to you, I do believe that this clinic will provide of great benefit to you as well. I think it's really nice to see that we're on the other side of this.
And it's when I think about things like this, I do hold it. It's like it sits in a very sensitive spot in my heart where I feel like I wish I could like speak out against this, but it's not something that's ever going to change, right? There's always going to be disagreements, and not just disagreements, but there's always going to be bullying to some extent. One of the things that I think of is, you know, Presley Barnes. You heard of that kid?
The little, yeah.
Yeah, the kid on Instagram. Like, I don't care if he like might have lied about his age by like 1 or 2 years. Like, dude, that does not. I don't see how that like justifies the level of like fucking insanity that's going on in his comment section. I just don't. It honestly scares me. So, I think I just wish that everybody could have some sort of community, like everybody, some sort of place, some sort of someone, or even a couple people that they could go to and that are like their super close friends that they could be like, you know, they could feel consoled, go to for support, you know, just to talk to.
That's why I love the rave community.
Yeah. I know a lot of Europeans like to make fun of the American rave community and a lot of other people that aren't associated with the American rave community. Yeah, exactly. Right. But I mean, people can make any assumptions that they want, and maybe their assumptions are true. Honestly, like maybe a lot of it does come from like, I don't know, from like historical usages of something like psychedelics and MDMA. But I mean, there's a reason why psychedelics and MDMA are in the forefront of psychotherapy right now. There's a reason why it makes such a big impact. Cause dude, like you take a little MDMA and I think it'll help you stop being an asshole for at least like 4 hours
or
something.
I know some people who could use it to be honest. Like,
no, for sure. There's just so many accounts of people that have just been helped so immensely by utilizing it in a healthy way. Obviously healthy is important, right? You can abuse anything.
People like microdose LSD and stuff. Like,
yeah.
That's like a helpful thing.
Yeah.
Just like medical induced marijuana, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. Ish in a way. It's something I used to do. Honestly, I guess I'm not really afraid to talk about it, but I microdose LSD for like 2 to 3 years, I think. And I would do it about 3 days apart each. And it would be like the smallest microdose, something that was hardly you could even feel. I think I'd really literally just tried to measure out as much of a tenth to a 20th of a tab, maybe a tenth as possible, which is like 20 micrograms. Obviously, like that doesn't really, it's not always like consistently the same dose, especially if you're not using a droplet. But I just, from what I recall in my experiences in those 2 years, because I was surrounded by such amazing people like my friend Ryan that passed away, and some other people that just had really good morals, ethics, were very selfless, cared about a lot of other people, just always shared love. I think in being in those, being surrounded by those people with like such very positive perspectives, inducing myself with microdoses of LSD, in a way, I truly feel like it opened up this neuroplasticity for me to change, kind of like be formed and I guess morphed into something that resembled more like the people I was around instead of being what I was initially from my negative experiences, someone that was just very pessimistic about the world. Someone that, I know there's like a little bit of controversy on whenever like people talk about this subject, but like, I had a lot of ideas that aligned with like the red pill community, but it wasn't so much of just like seeing the reality of what life was like, but also just feeling like everything was selfish and it was just survival of the fittest. And like, I should only care about myself. And like it was a very, not just pessimistic, but like, I don't remember what the word is for it. I'm trying to think about it, but basically very selfish outlook. And that's not what the people I was around, that's not what they were like. That's not really what San Diego was like. So I just wish everybody could go through that. I wish everybody could be surrounded by really good people.
Perspective. I was actually in San Diego last week. I accidentally ended up at a rave. No, literally me and my friend Keith, we were like looking up clubs to go to. Mm-hmm. And we just randomly picked one. And it so happened to be Bear Grylls, which is a filthy. Yeah, and we went and we had the time of our life. And another thing I love about the rave community, which is why I'm so like connected to it, is just like you can literally turn and talk to the next person and have a full-on conversation, and it's not weird at all.
Yeah.
Like, you can just be friends right there. I made a friend, and she's like, dude, she was like, I go to San Diego raves a lot. And I'm like, I'm from LA, but I'd love to go. I just wouldn't have a place to stay. And she's like, just come stay with us. I'm like, I just met you. And she's like, it's okay. I'm like, all right. Like, the rave community is just amazing. And like in every sort of way, I don't know how I could have lived without it before I got introduced to it. But yeah, I really enjoyed hearing that perspective.
So how did this all change then when you like went to football? Was this like 17, 16?
What changed?
What age did you join football? You were on the
I was 17. I was in my senior year of high school.
I feel like from 16 to 17 seems like a big jump in kind of just the life you lived.
I changed schools.
Oh, okay.
I was in a really prestigious high school. Like, I think the most prestigious high school in the country right now. And
that's where you moved to?
I moved from.
Oh, you moved from.
I was on a soccer scholarship there. So a lot of the people there were very wealthy, famous, entitled. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to school with Kendall and Kylie Jenner. They were, I think, 4 or 5 years older than me, but...
You mind me asking what school this was?
Sierra Canyon.
Okay.
Sierra Canyon. And I think Bronny James goes there now, like LeBron James' son. It's a huge thing, but... Then I switched to a Catholic school, and I'm not religious at all. But I think being in a religious high school really helped me because a lot of the people there had morals because they are religious. And I was also on there at a soccer scholarship because the coach for the soccer team was like my coach that I had been growing up with, who like literally helped me with soccer since I was the age of 8. So he welcomed me there with open arms, and it was a great switch for me because I just felt so much more safer in a community where it was so had to have like good morals to be there, and it was great for me. So I'm glad I went there. Even though I had to take religious classes and I did not really understand, like I had to read the Bible and I just didn't get it, but I'm so grateful.
I gotta be real. That's a surprise to me. Cause I almost went to all boys Catholic school and, my parents were kicking me out at 15. So we were just like not getting along, in really, really extremely toxic ways. And, when I went to the all boys school, the boys were caught like smoking weed, doing drugs on campus and stealing from stores next door. So it was like really bad. So I think the school, just a lot of the kids in that school ended up being a little bit misbehaved. So obviously was not a place my family was okay with. And that tends to be kind of like a stereotype that isn't always true, but kind of happens commonly in like more specifically suppressed communities. And obviously not all religious and not all Catholic communities are like that, but it happens for sure commonly. So
our school was pretty great. Like, we had to go to mass and stuff. Like, I had to sing songs and everything. I still didn't get it. I think at that point when I had enrolled in that school, I was like agnostic. I left fully atheist. Like, I wasn't into that lifestyle. And I was also very like science rooted. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm still very grateful for all the people that were so helpful to me and like were still accepting, even though I was not religious at all. Mm-hmm. And I was also very different. It was a very Hispanic school. I was one of the only white people there.
Oh, whoa.
So talk about being very pointed out and big crowd of Hispanic people, but all of my best friends were Hispanic and they didn't care. So it was really nice.
That's nice. That's nice as hell. That's crazy to me though, that like, how do you go to a Catholic school and come out the opposite?
How does that happen? I think from a very young age, I knew I didn't believe in God, but I really, really wanted to. And just that tipped me off. Like I said, I read the Bible and I was like, so many contradictions here. This does not make sense. I don't like it. And I don't think it's for me. Although I have a very deep respect for it, for anybody who's religious. A lot of my best friends are religious and I know how much good it does for them. And they are genuinely good people. So I'm very thankful for it that they are religious. So, yeah.
Well, one of the beauties, I say, of religion, and at least spirituality and taking a spiritual path, I think it aligns with people's morals, and those morals are normally aligned through like what their beliefs in like the purpose of life is, or like the way of life is. And it's like when it's ingrained into like your actual purpose as a being, it's just, it's so much stronger, right? Rather than like, oh, that's wrong or that's right, you know. It's a little bit different. And I think, you know, I was raised Catholic, Christian. I aligned myself with a lot of various, I guess, various religions. Like, I love mindfulness, Buddhist practices, Hinduism. But one thing that I can say for sure, and that I'm always happy to point out, is I think the concept of Christ consciousness is a beautiful one. Just essentially just who the person is being, and just the amount of selflessness and like unconditional love and acceptance for all the people around him is, I think, a practice that I think is beautiful for anyone to take on, no matter who you are, regardless of whether or not you align yourself with a specific religion or not. So, yeah.
I like to say I'm culturally Jewish. Like, I don't believe in God, but I am very proud of my culture being Jewish. My mom, super Jewish, super religious. And I like to just pay my respect to my ancestors by celebrating all of the Jewish holidays. And yeah, so in some ways I am a bit religious, but it's more so just like, I guess, just being grateful that I have religious people. And like, I'm very like proud of my ancestry being Jewish. So I like being Jewish. It's pretty awesome.
So what got you into astrophysicist?
What got me into astrophysics?
Yeah.
I remember at a very young age, my mom would put on this show. I think it was called like The Universe. And I was six or seven, I believe. I would watch it and I would fall asleep to it every night. And I remember not understanding it at all, but I was always so interested in it. And when I was 10 years old, I watched this video on YouTube. It's an asteroid simulation. And in the background, it was The Great Gig in the Sky by Pink Floyd. And essentially, this song is about death, but it really doesn't have any words to it. If you can hear the words, it means you're dying. I think that's such a cool little thing, but
whoa.
It's such a beautiful song, and it couldn't have matched perfectly with the video because it's an asteroid simulation and the whole planet is like it's gone. Like, and I remember thinking it was just like, I need to learn this. I feel like this is what I need to learn about. And so I got into high school and I realized I'm not good at writing essays. I can't remember history facts, but I really like science and I'm pretty good at math. So I think this was my calling. And I looked through all the majors. I was like, maybe biology, maybe, I don't know, environmental science. But eventually I landed on physics. And I never really took a physics class, but I decided, fuck it, whatever. I'll enroll in astrophysics, the hardest, one of the hardest majors there probably is. And took a couple classes and aced all of them. And I really, really enjoy doing physics. I think it just explains everything. I think sometimes I make this little inside joke with my friends. Like, I don't know, sometimes there's something's happening and I'm like, it's all just physics. It's just physics. Like everything, it explains everything. And I can't explain it, just how much I like doing it and how much I enjoy learning about it. I literally, before I came here, I came from an astrophysics class. Isn't that crazy? So this is exactly what I want to do with my life. I think being able to maybe put my name in the world and like leave something behind, like I have to do it with space. Like I think the fact that we know so little is so interesting to me. Like if you think about it in the grand scheme of things, we don't know that much.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably another civilization that knows so much more.
Yeah.
Have you heard of those two like theories? Like we're either alone in this universe or we're not. Each is both equally scary. I think that's really cool. But
I don't think we're alone.
I don't think so either. And I hope we're not. Like, I hope in my lifetime there's an alien that lands on Earth, but...
Oh, my God.
Seriously, like...
I hope it's a nice one.
I really loved... I think that also, like, that space thing also played into touch with my absolute love with Pink Floyd. Like, you will never meet a bigger Pink Floyd fan than I am. Same with Star Wars. Like, there is no bigger Star Wars fan that you will meet than I am. I have Star Wars tattoo, Pink Floyd tattoo.
You have a Star Wars tattoo?
Biggest one I have.
Oh shit, that is sick.
It's Captain Rex.
That's dope as fuck.
Yeah, he's like,
I was obsessed with Star Wars for the longest time.
I still am.
Do you ever play Star Wars The Old Republic?
Yes. Yo, Knights of the Old Republic. Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that game. They were supposed to do a remake and the project got cut. I was like so pissed, but yeah, dude, I freaking love Star Wars. Captain Rex, he's from the Clone Wars. But he's like the epitome of what a perfect person, like perfect soldier, right? Honor, discipline, respect, integrity, diligence, like all of these things. He's probably, I think, the only clone that didn't get churned from Order 66.
Mm.
He still had, like, these clones all had like inhibitor chips, which is why they all churned on the Jedi. And he still had it, but he was able to like fight his urges to kill the Jedi. He was like that strong, like that, like will, like his willpower was so strong. And I think, like, I don't know, but this is just me, like the nerd in me talking. But I think like him, having him is just like a reminder of me to be my best self. Like he's just such a great character to like, I look up to him. He's like so awesome. And I kind of like, I got the tattoo the day after I like thought of it. I was like, all right, I'm just going to get Captain Rex. And now he's on me forever, but I got to do like a whole Star Wars sleeve one day. I got to commit to it. Now I got to be like,
sick.
Like a dark side, like maybe like Darth Maul. But I actually drew this up myself.
Oh, did you really?
And I gave it to an artist. I'm like, can you put this on my body? And he's like, all right. And here we are.
So. Damn, that's tight. That's awesome. I didn't know you were such an artist.
Yeah, I don't talk about it too much, but I love to do art. I don't know if you know who Tommy Spaulding is, but
yeah,
his birthday was pretty recent, and I drew his cat. Like, I did like a realism drawing of his cat because he loves his cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it to him for his birthday, and I have the video of when I gave it to him. And I think, like, I think doing something like that is so, like, okay, it's like very close, like from the heart kind of thing. So I'll draw things for people that are very close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to do art, but I just don't do it enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a side hobby now.
Mm-hmm.
I do tattoo.
You tattoo?
I do tattoo now.
Do you really?
Yeah. I've done a couple people now, but I'm trying to, if anyone's willing to let me practice on them.
Oh shit, that's so sick.
I but I practice on like fake skin.
You're never gonna try to get a license or anything, are you?
I would definitely love to.
You would love to?
I probably wouldn't do like an apprenticeship or anything. Right. Like that's like a, you're committed to it, but.
Considering that you're gonna be an astrophysicist.
I've gotta pick one path. I gotta do one thing. Artist. And, yeah, what can
slash
I do?
But. Fitness bodybuilder slash TikToker.
TikToker.
That's crazy.
But crazy. Just these are just a bunch of side hobbies that I really enjoy doing.
I love that tattoo though. Did you watch Hunter x Hunter?
I did watch Hunter x Hunter. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know Krollo Lucifer.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have like?
I have his sign, his forehead tattoo on my chest.
The no the way. Cross.
Yeah. I just because of the same reason why.
Nice. I also have Jakenstein, Frankenjink.
Wait. What is?
From
which show was that from?
From Adventure Time.
Oh, from Adventure Time. That's dope. That's lit.
And these are all matching tattoos. So yeah. Same with this heart. I got it in Vegas. Same with this one. Someone said it looks like the DreamWorks logo. I don't know, but these two are matching this one as well.
Nice.
My best friends. So.
Oh, your best friends all got the same one.
Yellow.
That's awesome. Yellow. Lit. Yeah, but I really like I love the idea behind your Star Wars tattoo. Appreciate I think it's really dope. It's the same reason I like that character, just because being even though he's a villain,
You know, he's so cool.
He's like a very fearless but selfless leader, someone who really truly cares about the well being and everything of his troop. So it's kind of cool.
I've got a bunch more tattoos that I want to get. Like I definitely want to get like Guts' sword. Like
that'd be sick. Yeah,
I just finished rewatching that again, and I'm like, he's so me. Like I'm Guts. Like
you're Guts.
Like I just, man, I love Berserk so much, and I got Tommy Spalding to get into it. Like I think we sat there and watched it for a good like 4 hours. And
nice.
I love doing that. It's just getting people into things and them actually like really.
Did he watch it till the end?
He finally got. I was like.
You get to see his reaction?
Yeah, we got to the eclipse. And that was crazy.
What was he like?
Because he had no like knowledge of it. A lot of people do like know what Berserk becomes, but he didn't.
Okay.
And he was pretty shocked because I remember first watching that, I was like, what the fuck? This guy's a villain the entire time. Like, such a great story. Shit, spoilers.
It's so good.
I think it is the one of the greatest stories I've ever read. Like, it's such an amazing story. So
whenever I want to like get someone into anime, that's one of the first animes that I really want to get them into. Not because it's like a representation of other animes, but it's just like the strongest one.
Yeah, you know what I mean, like so psycho though, like Berserk.
It's crazy. If they have like the guts,
yeah,
no pun intended, but yeah. Like if they do, then I think it's like such a valuable story to watch.
First anime was really? Attack on Titan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, how recently?
I think
did you start watching anime?
I only started watching anime maybe 4 years ago.
Damn.
Yeah.
What?
I'm so fake. I am.
I'm so fake.
No. Okay. Actually, I did watch like Naruto when I was younger, but I think I only watched Shippuden. Which it doesn't even...
What?
Yeah. I didn't even...
Did you watch all of Shippuden?
Yeah, I think I watched all of it, but I didn't like...
You think you watched? No,
for most of it, at least, but it wasn't until like COVID happened. Like I had COVID and I was in quarantine. I watched all of Avatar in 3 days and then Korra.
The last Airbender?
Yeah.
In three days. That's crazy.
I was in my room. I had nothing else to do.
A season per day?
Yeah. Yeah, literally. I watched a book a day. And the next
Are they like 20 episodes?
I think they're like, 16 to 20. So I had nothing else to do. I was bedridden because I had COVID. And then I watched all of Attack on Titan. And then I watched Naruto. So it took me a year to finish Naruto. But rightfully so. Like, I didn't want to finish it too fast because I liked to like savor it. It was so good. It's so good. But look, I'm impressed
that you watch all of Naruto. That's a long series.
I've watched it 3 times now.
What?
Yeah.
And you didn't even watch the first one?
I now I've after I watched anime again. I watched regular Naruto.
Oh, okay.
No, I've watched it all now. But when I was younger, when it was like what on Cartoon Network, whatever it was.
When
like,
Naruto first came out?
Yeah. Like,
yeah, it was on Toonami, I think.
Yes. Was it? Yeah, I think it was Cartoon probably Network. Something like that. But
it was definitely Cartoon Network.
Yeah, I was watching it.
I'm pretty sure like it was like either right before or right after Dragon Ball Z at one point.
I think so. Or I remember watching, I think anime's on Adult Swim at some, or maybe not, but it was when it was just airing.
Yeah.
Like at the same time, because I remember coming home from school and it being on and I was watching it. Yeah. So I watched it and, but then as an adult, I rewatched it fully and now I understand.
Now I get it.
I am a Hokage. Chloe the Hokage. So that's where I came from. And
would have never guessed.
Right? But I'm like a full-fledged weeb now. Nice. Got like a whole bookshelf of manga and anime pops and everything.
So what did Chloe the Otaku do before 4 years ago? Like what otaku things were you doing?
Oh man, I don't think anything. Like I think Naruto was the only anime I've watched until like I like started watching real anime, and I wasn't an otaku since then.
But like otaku as in like you stay at home alone and then you basically either just like play games or like you watch some sort of media, something.
Yeah.
Like what was the media that you were like ingesting?
So much Cartoon Network, like like Adventure Time, regular show, like all the more childish shows. Like I would rewatch SpongeBob and Tom and Jerry. Like that was my shit at 17 years old. Still,
that's lit.
It was great. Like I loved it, and I guess I was still really into Star Wars, Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings is fire.
It's so good. Like, I now you said that, I have to rewatch the entire thing.
I said Lord of the Rings, yes. I have to rewatch it.
No, I'm actually so excited to rewatch it now. But Star Trek, like,
oh, shit.
All of those, like, series were really, really cool to me. I got into a lot of comics.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I started watching, reading Invincible. Like The Walking Dead. I was really into that. But,
it's a fire series.
Right. It's the same person that wrote Invincible too. So
I'm not familiar with Invincible though.
Oh,
what is that?
It's so good. Okay. So imagine like, have you ever watched The Boys?
No.
These are both two shows that I think you would love, because if you love Berserk, like how messed up it is, it's exactly that in both of these shows. They're both superhero shows. Without spoiling too much, there's just like a bunch of violence and like different, like there's even like love triangles and it's just fucked up. Like
this is,
but it's
fucked.
So good. It's so good. And it's like The Boys, it gives you a perspective on like if superheroes were like a reality, like it shows you like power and like all this thing. It's,
yeah,
I 100% recommend it.
Okay.
So good.
Reminds me of these two shows I did watch, Heroes and The Misfits. Have you heard of those?
I think I've heard of those. Yeah.
Yeah. They're both, I feel like Heroes was like an OG superhero series. Mm-hmm. And then The Misfits, I don't know how many people know it. I think it was, maybe it's more British, but it's a little bit more toxic of a superhero show. It's, I don't know if they're superheroes. I think they're just powers. They're just really shitty kids with powers.
It's exactly what like the Invincible is. It's kind of like, well, except like the main character's dad is like the worst person alive. And or he did something really, really bad. And I can't tell you without spoiling it, but it's something you definitely got to watch. Everyone's got to watch it. I've read it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've read the comics and
yeah,
it's just so good. An amazing story.
Okay. I'll look that up. But anyways, what exactly got you into doing TikTok? Because I'm assuming what it sounds like is, you know, you did soccer for so long and then you went to football and then football induced you going to lifting and like training and being in fitness.
Funny enough, before I started actually posting gym content, I was like an anime creator. Like before I was Chloe the Hokage, I was Chloe Silvermoon. That's usually the alias I go by on like video game platforms. Like it's just Chloe Silvermoon. And I used to do like weird, like showing off my Funko collection, or I was like, oh, these new pops are available. You got to go get it at Hot Topic, like kind of thing. I was just an anime and Star Wars creator. And out of nowhere, I posted like me flexing, and that blew up for some reason. I wasn't even like that jacked. Like it wasn't even that crazy, but.
Do you feel like you had like a, like at least a substantial enough of an audience?
Yeah, I had like maybe 20,000 followers at the time, but these were all like dweebs.
So maybe they were just shocked to see
that you were like
also kind of jacked.
I hope so, but that only encouraged me to go to the gym more, and I started posting more gym content, and like it was never my intention to like get like big or anything in social media world. Like I never had the I wanted followers or anything like that. I was kind of just posting for the fun of it, and thankfully enough, like it did well and got me where I am today. But it definitely pushed me to want to do better and like work harder, you know, all of that attention. And I think a lot of it has to do with I'm a fit girl who also likes Star Wars anime and does physics. Like I truly don't think there's anybody else like that in the industry, except for me. I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of girls who like anime and Star Wars, but
I think it's just something that people really admire a lot. And also I think maybe there's like a fetish for,
it probably is
for anime chicks. Fucking Lean Beef is kind of really heavily into the same anime and content too.
Assuming.
So it's a thing. It's for sure a thing.
But I look very different. I'm a very unique looking person, especially with my hair and stuff. Like, this is my natural hair, not the color, or at least it used to be, but not now. But I don't think there's anybody who looks like me. So I stand out a lot, and I'm grateful because I think that makes me very different from everybody. And I get a lot of like lookalike comments. Like I get the Griffith comment so much. Like I look like Griffith. The hair. I'm like,
you do. You do.
I do look like Griffith.
That's crazy.
But it's just it's fun to do all these cosplays as well. Like I never thought I'd get into that, but it's been pretty fun. Like doing my own twists. Like I would cosplay like blondes, but I wouldn't like contort my hair. I just leave it curly, and it's like my own style of cosplay, and it's pretty fun. It's been pretty fun doing it, and I've gotten into a lot of cool things because of this social media stuff that I never think I'd be getting into, but it's pretty great. Like I like I said, I never thought I would be in a position where I'd have a platform, but I think it's a reward for me to be able to have it given what I've gone through, and I'm able to share my story, and I'm able to like inspire others. Like the fact that people even look up to me is crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't even think like I'm all that, but sometimes I get messages and they're saying like, you inspired me to do physics. Like I'm doing better in school because you encouraged me to whatever. Like it's just so crazy to me that people actually think that, and I'm very grateful for everything that I have right now. And I think everything that I've gone through led up to this point where I can be that person for others. So I don't plan to stop. I do not plan to stop.
Do you have like an intent for what you want to use like your platform for? Like, I'm assuming like right now your career path is focused on astrophysics, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think I'm only going to do this for a little while longer because eventually I want to go into the Air Force. That's been in my path for my career for a while. And I've said this to people in my life that if I delete social media today, will it really matter? Like it's not everything to me. like while I have it, it's very helpful that I can, you know, do this and also do school at the same time. But my passion has always been with physics, and just my career has always been in my mind since 15, and I don't plan to deviate from that. If that means I have to quit social media, I will, but I'll keep it as long as I can. I'm kind of just going to keep doing the same thing, which is just post whenever I can and make silly videos or meet new people. Like, I've met most of my best friends through social media, so I couldn't be more grateful for that. But yeah, just not really changing much of my content. Pretty happy with all of the stuff that I post now. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a really special thing to be able to know that you want to do this one thing, especially at the age of 15. Because there's just so many people that even through their 20s, sometimes through their 30s, sometimes for the rest of their life, don't even know what they want to do. So I think that's a huge blessing, honestly, to be able to have such a crazy passion for astrophysics. I think that's super cool.
100%. Like, I didn't know it was astrophysics specifically, but I knew it was space. Like, I just love space so much. I love everything about it. I love learning about it. I took classes at Harvard, MIT, mm-hmm. Caltech, Johns Hopkins, like, just to even indulge in my interest. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm very grateful to also have known that this is what I want to do, because it's influenced so many decisions in my life.
Where are you going to school right now?
I go to CSUN.
CSUN?
Yeah. Okay. Like, literally right here.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Well, you're also able to be around Young LA at the same time.
It's 5 minutes from the university.
That's crazy.
So convenient.
What the hell?
Had it not been, it would be so much difficult for me, but oh my gosh, I can't even begin to tell you how amazing it is to just go from school and drive to the gym, like, so close by.
Was that like purely out of coincidence? Yeah, or where?
Because the gym wasn't even there. Like, I've been going to school for 4 years, but the gym just showed up a year ago.
No way. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So it's like, yeah. How did that happen? But grateful.
Oh, that's
so grateful.
Fucking tight.
It's amazing.
That's tight. I guess there's some things that I was kind of curious about. Trails off a little bit, but it is related to your story. Mm. We're kind of running out of time, but I do kind of just want to ask just out of curiosity. But all like, right. what would you say is probably the hardest part of your life that you've had to move through?
I would say it's my dad having cancer. It's something I'm still moving through. My dad has leukemia. He has heart disease, kidney disease. He's had so much shit in his life since I was 4. And, you know, leukemia is a blood cancer, so it doesn't necessarily go away as much as you can try. Mm-hmm. I've had to see him struggle since I was so young. My earliest memories are him throwing up, coughing his lungs out, being sick, bedridden all the time. That has probably been the hardest thing I've had to go through, because as someone just watching, it's like you can't really do anything except help him. You can't take his pain away. You can't do so much. You can only do so much to that. And to witness it for pretty much my entire life was really, really hard. He is going through it again. He's having another round, and now he's lost all his hair. So seeing my dad without hair is pretty crazy. I did that like Michael Jordan thing on him, which is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to like see the like good parts in him, like while he's going through it. Like he's so stubborn. He does not let anything get to him. Sometimes I'll be crying because I'm so upset how much he's going through, but he's like, why the fuck are you crying? Like, this is nothing, you know? Mm. This is easy. Like, don't worry about me. Like, focus on you. Like, that guy does not let anything get to him. He also does not want to see my mom with another man. So he's staying alive for a while. But
what a sick one.
But that's really hard. And as long as I've been going through seeing that, it's gotten a little bit easier, but at the same time, it's like, when will it end? Mm-hmm. And I think that, but he's really strong, and I have doubts, but I know how brave he is, and he'll get through it. So
how old is he? Do you, if you don't ask?
Think he's like 55 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dad's a fucking tank, man.
Dude, he is.
Can't believe since you were 4 years old.
He is. All he wants to do is go to the gym.
Nice.
Yeah, he's like, when can we go to the gym again? And I'm like, get better. And he's like, all right, I'll get better. So it's getting better.
So maybe it does run in your blood. Yeah. That's fucking sick. Damn.
But he's a trooper. He's really a soldier. I get Star Wars from him. He's the one who showed it to me.
Wow.
It's like, I'm like his little Padawan.
Do you happen to know what your attachment style is?
My
attachment style?
Attachment style?
Yeah, like, do you know about attachment styles?
Mm-hmm. Is that like love languages?
No, but it's like there's like a secure attachment style, and then there's three insecure attachment styles. Mm-hmm. And the attachment styles are anxiously attached. There's a avoidant, and then there's detached. Or no, it's not detached. It's a fuck. I'm brain farting right now. It starts with a D, but it's basically like chaotic. So I guess essentially, if you are in any kind of insecure attachment style, I think a majority of people tend to see themselves either anxious or avoidant. It's either one of those two. So, and anxious has to do with like basically you have like differing, changing perceptions of what you feel in like a partner or whoever you're close to. Say like it's a parent or something. Whereas like avoidant is like you're scared of being emotionally intimate. You always basically run away from closeness. It's like things like that, probably because of fear. So it's just like something that I like to ask people about just out of curiosity to see what they say. Because even to this day, like I want to take some of these tests, but I'm still kind of curious where I stand. Because it's kind of hard for me to say that I feel like I am securely attached, but that's how I feel, which is kind of strange because you and I have had like pretty like weird childhood. And my relationship with my family wasn't always the best. So I think it would be weird to say that I'm securely attached, but that's what it seems. I seem to align with whenever I read through each one in like descriptiveness. I'm like, no, I'm not very avoidant. I like to be emotionally intimate with people. I love to be close. Of course I'm scared, you know, of the future. Everybody is, but I like to walk into the relationship pretty fearless. And then, when it comes to being anxious, I guess sometimes I'm thinking, yeah, there's a little bit of like questions in my head, wondering like, does this person have these intentions for me? Is this how I should feel about them? But most of the time it's like pretty consistent. I don't really have that much chaotic changing in my thoughts there, things like that. So I don't know. I don't want to run on more about it, but I was just kind of curious what your input was.
From what you've told me, it seems like I could probably be aligned with being securely attached as well. So like what you said, you like being intimate and having an emotional connection with people. It's kind of like how I would like to be, how I am. So,
and you're pretty comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah. I would say so as well. I don't think I'd be avoidant or anxiously kind of like very, I know what I like. I definitely have to look into it, but
right.
The securely definitely seems like me. For sure.
I don't know all the stuff behind it, but I do believe people can change too. So even if I wasn't once, I mean, obviously maybe these are things that are ingrained within you, but I believe everybody can grow no matter what. So
plus, I second that.
Yeah. Plus situations are very different. Like if you're actually having like a situation where it's like very toxic and everything, like I don't think that really goes down the line of being anxiously avoidant. Like I think there's a reason why you should probably not be in that toxic relationship. So Cool. Anyways, I ask everybody one last question at the end of every podcast. If you were to die tomorrow and you had one message you could send to the entire world today, what would it be?
Do things that would make yourself proud. And I say that because I don't do anything that I don't think my younger self would be proud of. And I want to make my older self proud. So make decisions and make the most of whatever you are doing. Just if you're going to be proud, you want to be proud of what you are doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of what I'm doing. And I'm proud of myself. And I want my mom to be proud of me. And I want my dad to be proud of me. So do things that make yourself proud.
Was there a specific incident that I guess resonates the most with why that is like your message?
I would say I remember back when I was doing soccer, even with my dad going through with all he's been doing, like with his cancer and stuff, he would always be the one to come to my soccer games. Like he would drive hours and hours taking me to soccer games. And I remember anytime I would score a goal or save a goal, I remember him being so, so proud of me. And what I mean by that is just I worked very hard for him to be proud, and I work very hard now for everybody to be proud of me. I go to school. I go to the gym. I'm pretty organized with my life, and I'm proud of that. And he's also very proud of that. And he tells me that all the time, that he's proud of it. So he's also proud that I have so many good friends now. I didn't have many good friends. Like I had friends, but they weren't good. And he loves all my friends. So I'm glad that he's proud that I'm doing well. Prouder than, like, he's proud that I'm so different than how I was when I was 15, because they all saw a really bad part of my life. But to be so different now, I'm proud that he's proud. You know, I don't know how else to describe it, but I'm in a good place where I can say I'm proud of myself. So proud count. Do a proud count. How many times I said proud? Nice. Probably like 25. But yeah, I'm proud.
That's awesome. Thanks, Chloe. That was dope. Where can everybody find you?
Instagram, Chloe the Hokage. TikTok, Chloe the Hokage. I think that's all I do. Just TikTok and Instagram. Chloe the Hokage.
Nice. Nice. Sick. Thanks, guys, for watching. If you guys would like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you find your podcast, and subscribing to the YouTube channel and clicking the bell button, because it helps us get really sick, dope ass guests like Chloe today. So thanks for coming on. That was dope.
Yay.